Hey, with all the focus on superhero movies today and everybody suddenly is interested in superhero comic books, I got to thinking, you know, I had some superheroes who helped me get to where I am and helped me focus my life. And several of them were teachers. That's what I'm talking about today. Enjoy.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
You know, currently there's so much focus on superheroes. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but, Marvel keeps punching out those movies, and DC keeps trying to catch up to them. And it's kind of cool because I've been a superhero follower all my life, and it's nice to see things be able to come to the big screen. You know, it's funny because as a kid, I was a huge fan of Spider-Man, and I still am, and as well as Batman. Those are two of my favorite characters, and, you know, it's kind of neat because from two competing companies there. But, they were my favorites, and I didn't miss an episode of the cartoons and loved the comic books and constantly, kept up with the storylines. How about you? Did you ever read superhero comic books? How about these movies today? Are you excited about them? I can tell you, as a Spider-Man fan, I remember in 1978. Oh, yeah, that kind of dates me a little bit. But I remember in 1978 was a huge news came out in Starlog magazine when they announced that Sony had signed an agreement with Marvel Comics to create a Spider-Man movie. And who would have thunk that 25 years, however many years later it was going to take for them to get through all the court battles and stuff like this, whatever was going on with all those lawyers, that that movie never came out. So in the late 70s, we had to deal with the Spider-Man TV show, which that was interesting. You just had to kind of forget about the fact that you could see the cable that's kind of pulling him up the side of the building. But hey, at least it was something. But wow, the special effects today are incredible. But my point is that this fascination with superheroes, it made me think, who in my life has been a superhero? And right now I'm going to put aside focus on faith and so forth. I'm going to focus on some specific individual people who may have been superheroes in my life. And I want to ask you the same thing. Do you have some people in your life who helped you, who were superheroes to you? And maybe you didn't realize it at the time, but when you think back on these people, you think, wow, they made a huge difference in my life. And so let's talk about that just for a minute, because when I talk about a superhero in your life, these are people that believed in you or believed in me. All right. They believed in me and they encouraged me and they pushed me. All right. So let's talk about that again. These people believed in me, they encouraged me, and they pushed me. So when I give you that definition of these superheroes in my life, do you have people in your past who did the same thing for you? Well, I mean, because there are parts of my life that I would not have gotten through, or I would not have achieved the level of I started to say the level of achievement. I would not have achieved my goal if I had not had people who believed in me, encouraged me, and pushed me. So think about it. Do you have people in your life that were like that? Do you have these superheroes who helped you by believing in you, encouraging you, and pushing you? Well, to me, those are superheroes. Those are the superheroes who made a difference in my life. And what's neat is when I reflect back on this, some of them were teachers. Now, today I'm going to identify three specific ones. And actually, I've cheated here. I actually have four. And actually, I've cheated even more because one of them is really two people. So that means I actually have five. So I have my own X-Men team. But the point here is that these are people who, once again, let me remind you, say it with me, they believed in me, they encouraged me, and they pushed me. So none of this would be possible without starting with my parents. My parents were divorced, so they were split up. And what they agreed on, though, even though they didn't agree on a lot of stuff, what they definitely agreed on was that I needed to focus on school. And they needed to do what they needed to do to keep me focused on school. So with that being said, let's talk a little bit about what they did. Because remember, I said they believed in me, they encouraged me, they pushed me. So my parents, one of the things that came out of their discussions with me was always the focus on you need to stay focused on doing your schoolwork. You have to get it done. You have to turn it in when it's supposed to be done. And you do it completely and thoroughly. And no excuses about not getting it done. If you don't understand, ask questions. And you can do this. You can do this. I know you can. And then they would make sure that I was pushed when I needed to be. You know, it's funny because you have these stories that you remember. And, you know, one of the things that I remember about my mom was in elementary school, there was a time when I was whining about doing my homework. And, you know, this kind of put it to an end. Now, although there's times that I've whined about not wanting to get work done or not wanting to focus on it at this time or making excuses about this, that, or the other, blah, blah, blah. You know, one of the things that happened, though, during this day that really kind of stopped me focusing on, you know, the whiny part about not wanting to do my homework. I don't want to do this. So I have to do it now. You know, for those of you who have kids, you've heard this discussion, all right? And, you know, my mom basically said, you will sit down and you will get this done and you will stop whining about it. And that discussion stuck with me, all right? And part of the reason why it stuck with me, literally stuck with me, was because I was driving her nuts, and she literally said it this way, because my book is open, I'm not wanting to sit down, I keep popping up out of the chair, and she takes a pencil, and she says, you will sit down, and you will get your homework done now, and she, boom, puts that pencil, slams it into the book, and literally stabs it through several of the pages in the book. Yeah, that got my attention. And yeah, that's the end of my whining. By the way, there's a comeback to this story, because when I'm in later in the year, when I'm turning in that book, the teacher, he's looking at it and said, Steve, what happened to these pages in here? I explained to him what happened. And the rest of this story is, as a gentleman named Paul Harvey used to say, was I went to visit that teacher because he's one of my favorite teachers. He was my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Williams, never forget him. When I graduated from Army basic school, I returned and I wanted to go see him. And I went to him and met up with him. And it was funny because I was there after school, and someone took me down to his classroom. And I said, I don't know if you remember me or not. And he looked at me for a second and he said, wait a second, didn't your mom put a pencil through some pages in a book? Oh my gosh. So, yep, that's me. But that ended my whining about doing homework, or at least brought it to an end about me not wanting to do homework. And you know, she always pushed me to do better and to want to do better and to stop whining and fussing about it. And my dad had his focus on work ethic. He always said to me, he said, you've got to want to do better. You've got to do more than what's expected. So if somebody says this is what you're expected to do, you try and figure out how to do more than that. You try and figure out how to help beyond what they're thinking about and what they're asking for. And, you know, in this I saw him do this constantly over and over again in his world, in the many different jobs that he did. He was a jack of all trades, and he constantly went beyond. If there's such a thing of giving beyond 100%, he constantly was someone who did that. And, you know, both my parents are gone now, and my mom died at an early age. She passed away from breast cancer at the age of 49. But I'll never forget those stories of the times when she believed in me, encouraged me, and pushed me to get things finished and to focus on what I needed to focus on. And the same with my dad, who through me watching him with his own work ethic, was focused on helping me see that I needed to give more than that 100%, that I needed to be able to find that way. And I know there's people who could say you can't give anything more than 100%, but you can find ways of doing that. And a big part of that is to not tell somebody, well, that's not my job. You try and figure it out and you become part of the solution. And that came from my parents. I mean, there's more reasons why they're superheroes in my life, but that's a big part of it right there. They were major impacts in my life for many reasons. So once again, they believed in me, they encouraged me, and they pushed me. So I guess my parents were kind of like the Wonder Twins. They were superheroes in my life. Without them believing, pushing, encouraging, I would not have been able to go on and complete the degrees that I did, to focus on what I focused on in my career life as well as my family life. So if my parents are my first set of superheroes in my life, my second one is a high school English teacher, Mrs. E.J. Johnson. I'll never forget her. Now, we all thought she was very old at the time when I was a senior in high school. And who knows, because you're a kid and you have no clue how old the teachers really are. I mean, as soon as they tell you they're your teacher, they're old. And if they have a few wrinkles, they're definitely older than dirt. So, you know, this is one of those things. By the way, those of you listening to me, if you don't understand this, that reality will come soon. You can try and dress like them as much as you want to, but they're going to look at you as an old person dressing up like them. So with this, so let's talk about EJ. She was amazing. And remember my definition here. She believed in me. She encouraged me. She pushed me. She was a tough teacher. She was amazing. She accepted very little that, I mean, she didn't accept little performance. She would push you. And if you did not respond, she made life difficult on you. She would not stop. She would not just take some garbage from you. She would, you know, bring you to her desk and she would talk to you about, this is unacceptable. I need you to do more. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to focus on. You're doing this, or you're making excuses here, or you're making excuses there. And she was a tough talker, just like that. Matter of fact, I like to refer to her as Yoda because she was short. And she looked a little like Yoda. Matter of fact, they may have modeled Yoda's face after her. You know, she walked with this, she had to use a walker to get around, kind of like Yoda with his cane. She had some sort of a bone disease that was causing her issues. And I don't think her ears were quite as pointy, and she definitely wasn't green, but she sure looked like Yoda, and she definitely was wise as the character is supposed to be. And she made a huge difference in me. And when we talk about, you know, believing in someone and encouraging someone and pushing someone, you know, she knew her kids. She knew the kids in her classroom. She knew the way you wrote. She knew your behavior. She knew, you know, she could tell when people were fibbing, telling lies, telling stories. She could tell when you were trying your hardest, and she could tell when you weren't. And one of the things that was really cool was, I'll never forget this. I was a kid who I was never absent. I'm never absent. I wanted to make sure that even if I'm sick, I'm going to be in school. And that's just how I was. I didn't want to miss things. It's harder to get to make it up. And so I'm constantly going to be in school. And that meant that I came to school sick. Yep. And I'll never forget this one day, because I must have really looked bad. And she looked out at me and she said, "Steve, are you okay?" I just got into class from the bell rung and just come from another class. And I said, I'm all right. And she said, "All right, well, just checking on you." And we were getting ready for a test that we had, and that's why I didn't want to miss her class that day. Her tests were tough and difficult. I'd prepared for it. I'd studied for it. And I sat over there, and I must have really looked bad. I kind of put my head down on my desk. I remember that. And she came over to me. Now, you got to remember, it's a great effort for her, too, because she has to get up from her desk. She has to then use her walker to come across the room. And she did that. She said, "Steve," she said, "look at me." She said, "I don't think you're feeling very good, are you?" And I said, "Well, I've been better." And she said, "No, I think we need to see if somebody can come get you." And to make a long story short, what ended up happening was they did get in touch with my parents. Someone came and got me, and I went home. I was out for 3 to 4 days. I may have even been out for a whole week. I had like 103 degree temperature, and I was sick. And she noticed that always, I always will remember that, because I didn't have many teachers that would ever recognize that in me. Matter of fact, you know, when I had her class that day, I'd already gone through some other classes. Nobody said anything to me. Wow. And I can remember her talking about when I would get feedback from a paper or feedback from an exercise or something, I wanted to do better for her, because she would say things to me about, you know, "You can do this. And let me show you how you can make this better. And you can do this. And I expect you to do more." And it made me, I'm a quiet person. And as a kid, I was much quieter. And I would, she would encourage me to get involved in the classroom discussions. I love those things. She would, at first I didn't, but I started loving them while we were in that class. And, you know, it was something else, because what she wanted you to do was read from the book and be able to cite evidence from a book, from the book that we were reading, in order to answer the questions that she would ask everybody. And she would ask you for your input. And, you know, she didn't want you to say something goofy that, you know, to try and pretend like you'd read it. She wanted you to actually refer to something in the book that showed that you had read it and to show that you understood the thought process here as you tried to defend yourself with what you believed. That was so cool. And that's the way, that type of teacher she was. She was amazing. Well, E.J. Johnson, she believed in me, she encouraged me, and she pushed me. And I will always remember so many different stories about how she did that and made me want to do more, want to do better, and want to focus on whatever the future was going to bring and what I was going to help it bring me. So if my first set of superheroes is my parents, and my second one is Mrs. E.J. Johnson, Yoda, well, my third one is Sergeant Nieves, and he's a type of teacher. Sergeant Nieves was my drill instructor at Army Basic, Fort Knox, Kentucky. Never forget him. Now, Sergeant Nieves was an incredible character. He really was. He was something else. He was, I'm not sure what his real height was without his boots on. He was air assault, and he wore those air assault boots. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to get somebody to show you, because they have these big, thick soles on them and these big old boots, and they helped add a couple inches to him. But his big smoky bear hat, the drill sergeant's hat that he wore, and by the way, this is in the early 80s, and a popular sunglass at that time were the aviator ones with the reflective lenses so you couldn't see their eyes. And drill sergeants were very much like to wear those glasses as they were watching you and telling you how much they wanted you to push the earth away from the sun. again, or how about 4-count push-ups? 1, 2, 3, 4, that type of thing. Anyway, you know, he was amazing. Now, in the beginning, you don't really think the drill sergeant even knows who you are or knows anything about you, nor really cares, because they're busy making your life miserable, and they really are. And, you know, looking back on it now, you understand a little bit about what their point is as they're tearing you down and building you back as a soldier. But at the time, you know, when you start going, what the heck have I signed up for? And I'd like to tell you that I definitely had those thoughts. What the heck have I signed up for here? They'd do things like, you know, you had to be up. Reveille was at 5 a.m. Well, you had a lot of stuff that you had to get done before 5 a.m. Right? Before 5 a.m. Because 5 a.m. was when you're expected to be out of the rack and getting ready to be in formation. All right. And you had just about 5 to 6 minute window in there before you had to be in formation, ready to go. Well, that meant in order to be ready to go after you just got up at 5, you had to get up before that to get your uniform ready, all right? In this case, we're getting PT gear ready. So we're getting the stuff ready to go out and go running and all that sort of stuff, right? Well, the first thing we learned is that you got to get up and do all that stuff before the lights can come on. Because if you turn the lights on, because you figure this out, you go, fine, if I got to get this stuff done before 5, then that means we got to get up ahead of time. So we'll turn on all the lights in the barracks, and we were in these World War II barracks that were really cool. Just neat stuff. If you know what I'm talking about, they had the wood floors. You know, look at the movie Stripes. If you ever get a chance to watch the movie Stripes, look at those barracks that they're in, because that's Fort Knox, Kentucky, and that's exactly where that movie was made just a little bit before I went through basic training, and in that same quad area where they filmed that movie. And that's the World War II barracks, all right? And what we discovered was that, okay, so you've got to get up beforehand. Fine. So we'll turn on the lights. Oh, that was a mistake. No, you don't turn on the lights. You turn on the lights, they're mad at you because you're not supposed to be up before 5 a.m. 5 a.m. is reveille. You get up then. You don't get up beforehand and turn on those lights, but you're still expected to get up. You just can't turn on the lights. Ah, why did you tell us this? All right, you get my point. Lots of mind games like this. You know, they do things like you go out, you do a road march out, and you go 5 miles out and 5 miles back and come back to find your bunks turned upside down because they weren't made well enough. You know, you start going, what the heck is this all about? And I volunteered for this. You know, you start doing all this training, all this stuff, and, you know, if you're not doing it fast enough, then they make you wish that you had. You know, I learned lots of new words. Not going to repeat them. You know, it brought us together, though. You know, we became a team. And one of the things that was, you know, happening in there was that part of me was going, I don't know if I really want to do this. And I'll never forget my drill sergeant telling me to come to his office. And when I got to his office, he took off his Smokey Bear hat. And he told me, close the door. He closed the door, or I closed the door. And he said, tell me something. I think you may be second guessing whether you should be here or not. He goes, I think you should be here. And I want you to just give it a couple more days because we're getting ready to do the swim test. And he goes, after the swim test, we've got a few exercises we're going to do that are definitely Army stuff. He said, give it through there. And he said, if you don't like it, I'll get you out. But if you do like it, you stay. I said, not a problem. Oh my gosh. That was so cool because when he put his Smokey Bear hat back on, by the way, he then said, blah, 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 blah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And away I went. All right. Because, by the way, you can't let the others know that he had a decent side to him. Well, daggum, man. He, not only was he right, we did the swim test. That was amazing. And then we did all these other types of events and trainings and so forth that just made me go, hooah, hooah. Army life for me. That was awesome. And I am so thankful to him because what he did during that whole camp was he helped, as I'm second guessing whether I'd made the right choice, he took time to say he believed in me, he encouraged me, and he pushed me. What a cool adrenaline rush that is. And I still feel the goose pimples over it. Oh, yeah. What a superhero in my life. Sarnieves. Never, ever forget him. And I'll never forget him taking the time to help me stop second-guessing myself and push me and give me that little bit of belief in myself and to encourage me that I can get it done. So now you've heard about a couple of my superheroes. You've heard about my parents. You've heard about Sergeant Nieves, and you heard about Mrs. Johnson Yoda. Well, here's another one, and I could go on a lot longer than this because I have others who've made a difference in my life, but these are really at the superhero level. And so my fourth one, or fifth one, if you're really keeping track of the numbers of people that are involved in this list, is the first principal I had who was really, I had for a while. And I worked for him as a teacher. He hired me as a teacher. And he also hired me as an assistant principal. And then over time, we became colleagues, friends, and we're friends. And like my definition, I told you that he believed in me, he encouraged me, and he pushed me. He is one of the superheroes in my life. His name's Bob Creswell. Now, Bob recently retired from education after 40 plus some odd years. Amazing educator, incredible thinker, constantly thinking. And I had the opportunity to go interview with him. So a friend of mine said, hey, you need to meet this guy. You'd really like him. He's kind of in your vein of things. He's funny. He has a great focus on what he wants to be about in education, and you need to do this. And I was thinking about possibly leaving the system where I was. I was a young teacher. I'd only been teaching for, I think I was on my third year there where I'm getting ready to meet this new teacher, this new principal, this new adult in my life that will change my life. Well, I end up applying to that system and I end up contacting the principal. He calls me out. I get to go out and interview with him. I took less pay. Not a great extent, but I took less pay. I went from a bigger system to a smaller system. And I went to a huge unknown because after I met with him, and I didn't know if he was going to offer me the job or not, but after I met with him, I went to my wife and I said, you got to understand something. I would love to work for this guy. He was the first person I heard talking about his thoughts about the future, about the way school should be for kids, about the way school should be taught. He had this vision of how it should be, and he had this focus on a mission about the things that need to be done in order to get kids to that and to get education in the building that way. I love it. And I met with him, and I'll never forget him walking me around the building talking to me. And I'm like, I got to go to work for him. And he actually offered me that position. And I was able to work for him for several years. And then I became an assistant principal for him. And he made a huge difference in my life. He showed me how to focus on goals, how to focus on the idea of what you're really about. He was focused on, I mean, before these things became big, he was focused on, you know, helping how things should be for kids. He was focused on child-centered learning. And this is, I mean, today there's people who think that they, you know, they created that or something like that. No, that's been around for a long time, all right? And he was focused on it before it was the end thing to do. He showed me the importance of staying aware of what's going on in the research base. He kept me focused on the importance of reading and being well-read. He pushed me. He encouraged me. He believed in me. He took a chance on me as a teacher. He took a chance on me as an administrator. And then through the years, he became that mentor who I would reflect back on his practices. I would call him from time to time. He would reach out to me and invite me to be part of different types of groups today that might be called, that it expanded my network. He helped me. He shaped me. He helped mold me. He's another superhero in my life. And I am so thankful for his focus, belief, encouragement, and pushing me. So let's go back to this whole concept here. These adults were superheroes in my life at different stages of my life. They took time to believe in me. Some of them as I was a young child, some of them as I'm becoming an adult, and some of them as an adult. They believed in me, they encouraged me, they pushed me. Do you have people in your past who believed in you, encouraged you, and pushed you? And while you stop and think about it, I want to take it one more step, because notice that I named a teacher in there and that each of them actually played a role as a teacher in my life, some way, shape, form, or another. And at least one of them was paid that way. But there were other teachers in classrooms who did the same for me. And so now I want to bring it around to, as you're thinking about those who made a difference in you, who were superheroes in your life, who believed in you, who encouraged you, who pushed you, I want to ask you this. Are you a superhero for somebody else? Do you take the time to believe in them, to encourage them, to push them? Those students that you have in your class, do you have kids who you believe in, who you encourage, who you push? Well, do you? As you're preparing for your next go-around in classes, can you make yourself a promise and say, I'm going to be a superhero for the kids that I teach. I'm going to keep myself focused on believing, encouraging, and pushing. Think about it. I encourage you to. Remember those people who made a difference in your life, and you be the difference in somebody else's. Thanks for listening. Have an awesome day.
We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes.
Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators.